Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is A Bone to Pick. This phrase dates back to the 16th century, actually. Simply refers to a dog chewing endlessly on and picking clean a large bone. A bone to pick is thus a subject or issue that is expected to require considerable discussion or argument. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Now, this is going to be a very intense day, potentially for any and everybody, including me. And it doesn't have to be bad. But you're about to find out what kind of attitude you have and condition you're in by how you respond to these verses I'm going to read you and what we're going to talk about. Genesis 1, go down to verse 26. He's making the universe, and then he gets to this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Just one thing that I didn't highlight in verse 26, let us make man in our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He did not say, let me make man in my image. It's an us thing. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. That's all there is, by the way. There ain't nothing else, right? Male, female, that's it. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, who did God say that to? Who did he say it to? What's it say? To them. And this is before the fall. We'll get more details about God creating man and woman. So before the fall, this was both of their jobs, okay? There are certain things that were before the fall that changed after sin entered the equation. And this is what's frustrating our world, frustrating our lives, frustrating our marriages, because before the fall, men and women were equal co-laborers, them. He told them to do this. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yield seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So by the end of the sixth day, he's got them made. Now, go to Genesis chapter 2 and go down to verse 7. So you say, well, I thought he did this in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he gives you details of what happened in chapter 1, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So God takes dirt, forms it into a man, and breathes life into it. "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And then it goes on talking about these rivers. Go down to verse 15. "Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree." Now, at this point in chapter 2, there is no woman on the planet yet in the story. So there's no one to tell this to but Adam. "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." There's a consequence. There'd been no death, so what is he even talking about? "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." The term helper, from a Hebrew word, ezer, used here does not imply inferiority. Rather, it signifies a vital companion who corresponds to him. So before sin enters the picture, it is someone to come alongside made in God's image, going to be different but equal. Okay? Go to verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. He's seeing bull, cow, all, you know, everybody's got somebody but me. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Now, I've heard all kind of stuff. Oh, God, he chose a rib because it was next to, you know, Adam's heart and from his side to be next to him. None of that's in the Bible. God picked a rib. So he had a bone to pick. He picked a rib. Now, it all sounds good at weddings, but it's not in here. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, so God presents Eve, this naked woman. There's only one on the planet, and I say naked woman because that at this point is not an issue. And he said, Adam says about the woman, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So he's the one naming everything and says she is a woman. Now later she'll give the woman a name, Eve, and we'll get to that in a second. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now go to Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, you know, you shouldn't be talking to snakes, first of all. That's the first thing. Pay attention to anyone who comes questioning what God has said. Because you got guy friends that'll tell you, oh, dude, you know, do whatever you want to do. That woman's crazy. Or a girlfriend's going, oh, he's nuts. You don't have to do what he's saying. You don't have to follow him. Be yourself. Get in touch with the God that's within you. Just if there's no God within you, there's nobody to get in touch with. And then she misquotes God because he didn't say you couldn't touch it. He said, don't eat it, unless that was added later. But if it was, it's not in Scripture. You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Touching it would not have killed you based on what he told Adam. But she adds that. Be careful when someone questions God's word and don't add anything to it. Just see what it says. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil, which was the devil's problem. He couldn't stand that he wasn't equal to God. He didn't want to be a creation of God. He wanted to be equal with God. Now he's loading her up with all this nonsense. Oh, he knows once you eat that, whatever he told you, that's not it. You're going to be equal to him. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Like, well, what could be wrong with this then? Maybe he's right. The devil is never right. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, here's where people kind of get wrapped around the axle a little bit. They go, well, it's Eve's fault. The devil didn't go to Adam. He tricked Eve. And there's a passage over in Timothy where it says this out loud. It wasn't the man that was deceived, it was the woman. So why is it called Adamic sin? Why is it Adam's fault? Why do we keep throwing this Adam under the bus? He didn't do it. She did it first. He was with her. And there's something theologically called federal responsibility, where in the scheme of things, no matter what went down, it's Adam's responsibility. But neither one of these people had sinned before. And I've run all kinds of traps and said, okay, well, what if Eve had eaten it and Adam says, I'm out. And now she's sinned, but he hasn't. It's not what happened. They both mess up. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering, which is really bizarre. There's only two people on the planet. Who are you hiding from? Each other. And from who else? From God himself. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Are you hiding from God? And like, what is that? I'm hiding from God. You can't hide from God. It's like pulling sheets over you in the night thinking the boogeyman can't get you because of sheets. Oh, I'm safe under this. A knife could never penetrate my sheets. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him. Now, interesting, he calls to Adam, not to Eve. Calls to Adam, where are you? You think God didn't know where he is? Of course he knows where he is. He's hiding. It's his universe. He knows where everybody is. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. No, you're afraid because you screwed up. And a manifestation of sin is that now you know you're naked and you're hiding yourself from God himself. And he said, who told you that you're, how do you know that? Who told you you were naked? There was nothing but naked before. Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? Now that is the question. When God asked you, did you do what I already know you did? What is your answer? Yes, sir, I take responsibility for what I've done. It's on me. But what is his answer? Then the man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate it. If you had never made this woman, I wouldn't be in this situation. So now you're hiding, you're covering, and you're blaming. It's the same old thing been going on for millennia. It's not my fault, someone else's fault. I'm going to hide from God, think that's going to work. No responsibility. The answer is not what he gave. And by the way, what if God had not made this woman? And Adam had not eaten from the tree. There'd be this big old universe, this planet, and Adam all by himself. He never would have died. There'd be no other people but Adam walking with God in the cool of the day. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have even the chance of any problems. But because he made a woman, the mother of all living, it says, now we got kaboom. But look at the joys that come with that. Knowing God, him knowing us, experiencing love between each other, being able to worship him. We'll spend eternity with him if we know him. Go down to verse 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? Okay, so he's blaming you. What'd you do? Now, you know she's going to say, I screwed up. You said not to eat of this. I know Adam told me that. I know that's the deal. I messed up. The serpent, you know, said this, but it's on me. No, the serpent deceived me and I ate. It is his fault. Don't let the serpent deceive you. That's all he's got is lies and deception. You say, well, I don't know if it's the enemy presenting himself to me or it's God. I don't know. I'm confused. When the enemy offers you anything that contradicts the word of God, it's the enemy. It's not God. When your rationalization, your excuse, you're blaming someone, oh, here's why I'm going to do this, it's going to turn into a mess. Stop blaming him. Take responsibility for your actions. Verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, so he asked Adam, Eve, where'd all this go from? Then he gets finally that the serpent has done this, so now he goes backwards and talks and goes back through the consequences of this. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. So this is already talking about Jesus coming and Satan's head being bruised, Jesus' heel being bruised. Symbolism here about the gospel way before it ever happened. Then he gets to the woman. To the woman he said, and ladies, verse 16 can be a nightmare for you, but does not have to be. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Can I get a witness that it is painful to have a child? So whatever God said here, whatever was going to happen before, I don't know how the system would have worked before, if there would have been any pain having a child, but this thing got ratcheted up. I have personally seen my three daughters born, and I'm just telling you, all these men think they can be mothers. Good luck. It's an extraordinary thing, but it is a painful thing. So for whatever reason, that's one of the consequences. And then these next few words, which jack most women's lives completely up. Your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. This word desire, look this up, has been interpreted in several ways. Some understand it as a desire to control or dominate her husband. Of course, those women don't exist. Oh, I don't get any laughs there. All of a sudden, that's not funny. Some understand it as a desire to control or dominate her husband, reflecting a distortion of the previous harmonious relationship. Others see it as an emotional and relational longing, indicating dependency or a desire for intimacy that may not be reciprocated in the same way. Either way, it sucks. Because if you're trying to control your husband and your job is to submit, to respect your husband, you say he's not respectable. And I got to slow down here and say this gently. There ain't no verses about not submitting if he's not respectable. Well, I don't like him. Okay, he may not like you either, but it's his job to love you as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, he ain't acting right, and I'm gonna fix this. And how is that working out for you so far? I'm gonna change him. Oh, you're changing him, all right. So, man, sin has consequences. Now you say, well, let's get to the guy. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Now let me just say that slowly. You listened to your wife instead of to what I told you, and now you're in this fix. And you have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So, man, the curse for men is work is hard. It takes effort that it would not have taken before the fall. There's a consequence. Now, gosh, this is easier. You know, you think, I'm going to get a woman up here and let her say some of this. It's not necessary. It's in the book. I'm going to say it. To the men, if your wife is not saying what God is saying, you have to lead anyway. And this is the stuff nobody will say out loud. If I lead anyway, if I upset her because she's, you know, we're dancing and I'm making her dance backwards most of the time. If I do something to upset her, my house is going to be worse than it already is. And you think by not leading, it's going to get better. And then what no one will say out loud, if I lead the way the scripture says and the way you're suggesting, even if I love her as Christ loved the church, she's going to cut me off. There'll be no intimacy. She will try to control me, manipulate me with that tool. Sex is not a tool. Now you say, well, this is all, you're being mean. I'm not being mean. You already got trouble. Let's figure out what the trouble is. Well, I know what to do. I know how to make this man shape up. And now you have minimized him to some kind of animal that needs you for some specific reason. And if he will act right and do what you want him to do, you'll give him certain things. And now you're back to what the original thing I said, you're controlling the house. But now you don't respect this man that you're taking care of. And so you really don't want to be with him anyway, because a woman who doesn't respect the man doesn't want to be with him unless it's for money. And then that circle goes back around. And how many women marry for security? One of the number one things. So you're not married. So if your issue is security, now you can't depend on God. You got to find you a man. But to find you a man, you got to do ungodly things to land that man. And now you've landed an ungodly man and you don't like it because you used your little tools, your skills to get him to pick you. And now he picked you and he won't act right. So now you're going to use those skills to get him to behave right. It's a mess. Be a godly, holy person. Be a godly man. Love your wife the way Jesus said to love her, like Christ loved the church, gave himself for her. You say, well, I'm doing that. She's not responding. Welcome to Jesus' world. We don't respond. We're the bride. But he doesn't stop loving and leading just because his church doesn't respond. He stays at it. Even if we don't reciprocate, because sooner or later, we do reciprocate. We respond. The bride responds. You say, well, I'll do that. But what if she never comes around? Do your job. Be a man. And then these guys say, well, my wife cut me off and now I'm going to have an affair. I don't want to divorce her, but I got needs. I'm going to take care of those needs. Now you're out of bounds. She was out of bounds. Now you're out of bounds. And the guy says, well, I didn't have another option. She forced me to go cheat on her. Not if you're a man. Oh, there's so many things I could say. Now you say, well, where's all this coming from? I got to deal with all this too. Because of sin, men are born selfish. Look, not even women won't even say amen to that. Okay. Everybody's scared in this room. Selfish. It's all about me. So if you are not married yet, so let me just go just for a second to the not married people. For Christ's sake, for for God's sake, the Father's sake, the Holy Spirit's sake, for your sake, everybody's sake. Don't pick a partner till Jesus is your partner, till he is your Lord, till he is your Savior. Because until it's working this way, you got a busted picker. It's not going to work. You wouldn't even pick you. Why are you trying to talk somebody else into it? Get healthy, get whole, be a person, a whole person. It takes two whole people to make one whole marriage. Now, I get that there are people that you say, well, I'm already in it. What do? You got to try to figure it out and do it God's way. But if you're not married yet, you got a shot at something. You don't marry people you're not dating, so don't date someone you wouldn't marry. That's absurd. Yeah, but she takes care of me. Okay, she's having sex with you. Now that's why you're going to marry her? You're an idiot. You're a total idiot, because that's going to whip around and she's going to use it on the other side. Some of this is not anywhere in my notes, by the way. I'm like, what in the world? Go back to verse 20. Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Thank God for Eve. So I'm busting everybody's chops today. I get that. Man, this woman thing is a great thing, but sin has jacked the entire program. Be aware of that. Don't participate. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Oh, if I treat him this way, then I'll have some kind of control and take care of myself. Do it God's way. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. They were naked. I don't think it was bothering him. It was bothering them around him. So now how do you make tunics from animal skins? An animal has to die. You can't skin them alive. It's not the way God does it. So now an animal has died. Something had to die, be sacrificed to cover them. That is the gospel. A naked man had to bear our shame on a cross to restore the covering, the relationship that God had for us to begin with. All the movies, all the pictures. I've said this before, the Passion of the Christ, the only inaccuracy, the blaring inaccuracy, is they had Jesus strung up covered. My Jesus did not hang covered. They did not care about that. Romans didn't care, anything to humiliate. My Jesus hung naked on a cross to restore what Adam and Eve had screwed up. So we sing about, behold him, you could not have beheld him, not easily. Not only is he dying, he is being shamed for my sin, for my shame, for my nakedness spiritually. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Love that little phrase, to till the ground from which he was taken. Ever dig around the dirt and realize that's you? And when it's all said and done, unless Jesus returns in your lifetime, that's going to be you again.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
So he drove out the man. First mention of a car anywhere in scripture. Hey, if I don't light it up somewhere, y'all can't take it. And he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. There's another sword that says I got access to that tree. And that sword can't stop you or me because of what the sword, the word of God says, that one day we will eat of that tree of life. Have access again to walk and talk with God the way he intended. So what is God? God's got a bone to pick with me and you because we're all boneheads. So what's his beef? You screwed up. I get that. You blame, cover, hide, do all that. I get that. I sent my own son down there to fix it. The last Adam, the second man, he's died on a cross. The last Adam, raised from the dead, the second man, you got another shot. Don't be a bonehead. Say yes. Respond. Admit that you're a sinner. You need His forgiveness. You're not going to make it without Him. No more excuses. No more pointing at somebody else. This is all on me. And get in on this deal.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.